Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos. We're going to be doing Daf Chof Hei and the first Omud, Chof Vov Omud Aleph, Mitzvah Shem. Now, we begin on the very last line of Daf Chof Dalet Omud Beis. Yesterday, we had gone through the Mishnah in the middle of the Daf, and we had said, what is the reason, my timer, that you're not allowed to go burn Kodshim on Yontif, and where is the source of that? So we brought down three psukim, three different opinions based upon psukim. Today we'll bring down another opinion that's based upon svarim. We've given on the very last line, Rav Ashi says, now the pasuk is Shabbat Shabbason, but we're dashing out over here from the word Shabbason. So Rav Ashi says Shabbason. We'll turn to Yom Aleph. The word Shabbason means you shall definitively rest on Shabbos. That's a mitzvah saseh. As Rashi says over here, Aseihu, the mashma shvuzbo, you must rest, Aseih. And therefore, this explains why you're not allowed to go burn kachim on yontif, because v'havalei yontif Aseih velos Aseih. So therefore, the observance of yontif, you have to make it a Shabbat tone, you have to have it a day of rest, that's an Aseih. And of course, there's the los Aseih that you're not allowed to do malach on yontif. So yontif is therefore an Aseih and a los Aseih. And the requirement to go and burn the kodshim or to burn the truma that is tmeya, ve'ein asei docha es lo sasei va'asei. And therefore, you only have over here an asei to go and burn the kodshim that are supposed to be burned. And this can knock off a lo sasei, but it can't knock off a lo sasei that is also combined with an asei. You normally have a rule, an asei is docha lo sasei, but here, since it's also not only docha lo sasei, it would have to be docha an asei, it can't do that. So that's the fourth reason. This is the only one that's a svara. The other ones were psukim based. Now the Gemara continues and says, the yontov hu diosir, we just learned the reason why on yontif you're not allowed to go burn your kachim or your truma that is sreifa, that is supposed to be burnt. That's on yontif. Implication being, ha'b'chol shaper dami, that one is allowed to go and burn truma that's tmeya on a weekday. It's given to the kohanim. They're allowed to go and get hanah from it. It's only on Shabbos or yontif that they can't go and burn it, obviously, on Shabbos, but even on yontif, and therefore, you're allowed to burn it on a weekday. But how do we know that? The Gemara says, my taima. Where do we know that you're allowed to get hanah from burning truma that is tmeya? After all, maybe it should be aser. So we have a number of reasons. Omar Rav tells us, Kishem Shemitzvah Lisrof HaKotshim Shenitmu, just like there is a mitzvah over here to go and burn Kotshim after they become Tomei, so too, Kach Mitzvah Lisrof Esa Truma. Likewise, there's a mitzvah to go and burn the truma, shenitmes, when it becomes tamei. So therefore, just like kachim have to be burned, so too truma has to be burned. The Omer Torah, and the Torah tells us, Bishaz biura tehani mimena. And the Torah says that you're allowed to go get a nod from it when you go and burn it. Where? Where does it say that? Hechad Omer Torah. It's a nice idea, but you have to have support for that. Where in the Torah does it say? So here we learn it out from the Rav Nachman. This is based upon a drasha that Rav Nachman made. What did he say? Rav Nachman on Rav Avua. Rav Nachman said the name of Rav Avua. Omar Kra, the pasuk says, Bani hinei nasati l'cha, the key word there is l'cha, es mishmeres trumosoi. I gave to you the requirement that you have to watch my truma. Now, trumosoi over here is plural. So, b'shtei trumos akos v'daber. So, we're given, Aaron HaKohen, the Kohanim, are given two trumos over here. What is two trumos? There's only one type of truma. So, the Gemara says, b'shtei trumos akos v'daber, achas truma tohora v'achas truma tmeya. This trumosoi, this plural, implies that HaKadosh Baruch said, I gave to you the right to use truma that is tohora, and I gave to you the right to use truma that is tmeya. V'amar rachman alucha, because I gave it to you. Shelucha tehe la'asik or tachas tav shelucha. That you are allowed to go and use it, even if it's Tameya, because I gave it to you to use, and you can use it in any way. That's Teretz number one. Biboy Yisei Ma Mid Rabbi Avo. Or we could say it's alternatively from the statement that Rabbi Avo made. What did he say? Yom Rabbi Avo, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Avo, it said the name of Yochanan. The Pasuk tells us, Lo Vi'arati Menu B'Tamei, we did not go and use, Vi'arati literally means burn it, but it means we didn't use it, B'Tamei. Now this is talking about Ma'aser Sheni. So when a person has to do what's called the Vidui Ma'aser at the end of every 3 years in the Shemitah cycle, the end of the first 3 years and at the end of the second 3 years, so he has to say that I did all the Ma'aseros that I was supposed to, and I took off specifically Ma'aser Sheni, and the Lo Bi'arti Menu B'Tamei, I didn't use the Ma'aser Sheni, I didn't eat the Ma'aser Sheni when I was Tamei, but Mimenu Yata Ma'avir, only from the Ma'aser Sheni, Mimenu, from if, from the Ma'aser Sheni, that's what the Pasuk's talking about, I didn't eat. However, Avol Tal Ato but I'm allowed to eat. Now, it doesn't mean literally eat. It means I'm allowed to use. Ma'avir means to literally burn. I can go and burn truma that is tamei. So it's maisa sheni that's meduyuk over here from the word mimenu. From the maisa sheni, I can't use it when it's tamei, but I am allowed to use truma that is tamei. Or it says maybe not. The ema mimenu yatom avir from maisa sheni, I'm not allowed to go and get any benefit that if it's tamei. But avalata mavir shemen shel kodesh in itma. But I could use kachim shemen shel kachim. That is allowed to use when it's tamei. Maybe that's what the pasuk is coming to exclude. Mimenu from Isa Sheni, no, but from Kachem, yes. Where it says that's not possible. Lav Kavuchomer, that's a Kavuchomer. Uma Maisra Kal. If Maisa Sheni, which is much more lenient than Kachem, as we know, the pasuk says, Omer Torah, Lo Viyarti Mimenu Betame. Now, if I'm not allowed to go and use the Maisa Sheni in a state of Tumah, so certainly Kodesh, which is more Chomer, Kachim are much more chomer than Maiser Sheni, so lo kol shekein. Certainly, in a situation where I can't use Maiser Sheni betuma, I certainly can't use Kachim betuma. So Gemara says, if that's your logic, it's a kabel chomer. If you can't use Maiser Sheni, then you can't use Kachim. Then same thing should apply for truma. Yachi truma nami lema kabel chomer. How can you tell me I can burn truma that's tamei? It should be a kabel chomer. If I can't burn Maiser Sheni that's tamei, I certainly shouldn't be able to burn truma that's tamei because truma is stricter than Maiser Sheni, just like Kachim is stricter than Maiser Sheni. So why doesn't the Kavah Chomer that you're using for Kachim also apply for Truma? Gemara says, no, you got a Pasuk over here. Haksiv Mimenu. We have a Miut. The Pasuk says, it, the Maiser Sheni, you can't use when it's Tameh, implying something else you can. So therefore, it must be that the Truma you can use. But the Gemara says, Umara'is, why did you specifically exclude over here the din of Kachim and say Kachim is a Kavah Chomer? If you can't use Maiser Sheni, you can't use Kachim, but you're allowing Truma. Why did you pick Kachim to be included, similar to the din of Maiser Sheni that you can't use it betuma? So Kachim and Maiser Sheni are lumped together through the Kavah Chomer, but not Truma. Why did you pick Kachim to include and Truma to exclude? So Gemara says it makes sense, logical. Mistabra Kodesh lo mimatina. It makes sense that Kodesh should be included in the din of Maiser Sheni over here, and both of them can't be used for when they're Tameh, and Truma could be used for Truma. Why? Because there are six things over here. Shekein Simon, Tank Achas. This is a mnemonic over here for six things that has a mila of Kachim that Truma doesn't have. And therefore, if you have to pick one to include or one to exclude, you're going to include the Kachim and not include the Truma. What is that? So this mnemonic is Pigol. The Pei over here stands for Pigol. There is a din by Kachim that if you have a Pigol Machshava, an incorrect Machshava at the time of the Avoda, if you say, I'm going to eat this Chutz L'Zmano, outside its right time, or Chutz L'Mekomo, it's not a full pigo, but it's like pigo. We'll discuss this some other time. But if you have these improper machshavas, they're called the pigo machshava, and that applies to kachim, and it doesn't apply to truma. So this stringency applies only to kachim. So if you have to include one, it makes sense to include a kachim as opposed to truma, where there's no din of pigo. The next one is nosar, a korban after its time, so it becomes nosar. You have to burn it. It's left over. There is no such din by truma. Truma doesn't become ruined after a day, a week, a month. It still is truma. Whereas kachim, after their time, one day, that night, the following day, it's going to be nosar, and it has to be burned. So this is another chumra that truma has. Korban, this is a status of a korban. Kachim are a higher level status rather than truma, which is a slightly lower level status than a korban. Then there's a din of me'ila. If a person usurps by accident, if he takes a kachim by accident, so there's a certain carbon that he has to bring, a carbon me'ila, and we don't find that by truma. Likewise, v'kares, the problem over here, rachmona litzlan, if somebody were to eat from a carbon while he's tameh, he would be chayiv kares. If he did this intentionally, he would be chayiv kares. Whereas truma, if you eat it intentionally while you're tameh, you're only chayiv misa b'dei shamayim. Misa b'dei shamayim is a lower level punishment of death than is kares. Kares is either, Tosfos brings down, over here two opinions. First he brings down the opinion of 60 years old, and then he brings down the Yerushalmi that says it's 50 years old, and it's an addition that you can cut off from your children. There's kares v'ariri. So there's also potential not only for you being hurt, but also your children being hurt as well. So that's a more severe type of punishment than misa b'dei shamayim, which just means you're going to die because of the severa, but lav dafka, that it is at a certain age, and lav dafka, that it's going to mean anything for your children. So that's another chumra that kachim has over truma. And the final, sixth and final one, is asur li'onet. Kachim are not allowed to be eaten by a person who is in aninus. Rachmana l'slan, somebody loses a person, and until the burial, they're called an onet. So kachim can't be eaten by anybody who's an onet. But truma is technically allowed to be eaten by somebody who is an onen. So therefore, there's six chumras that kachim has over truma. So if we have to include one, we're going to include kachim over here to be like the din of Maiser Sheni through the Kavah Chomer, that just like Maiser Sheni can't be eaten or used in any way betuma, so to kachim. And we're going to exclude and say that truma can be used when it's tameh. You can go and get benefit from it. So there's six reasons. The Gemara says, but adirabba, truma lo memaita. No, we should switch it around and say truma should be through the Kal V'chomer and kachem should be allowed. Why is that? Because there are four reasons over here. Shekein machpaz simen. What's this simen over here? The mem stands for misa, that you get misa b'dei shemayim over here. Now we said before you just get kares for the other one, but here Rashi brings down, this is for a zar who eats it. A zar who eats it over here is different than a zar who eats a carbon. A zar who eats a carbon, it might be permissible. A zar is allowed to eat a shlomim, but no zar is allowed to eat truma. So therefore, truma is stricter, and therefore there's a misa b'dei shemayim punishment for a zar who eats truma. Chomesh, likewise, if you eat truma, you have to go and pay a chomesh if you ate it by accident over here. As opposed to kachim, Rashi says, once it goes into the hands of the kohen, avo avo kodesh, mishor sheyesh hetel kohanim, ki truma, v'yotze midei me'ila. It no longer has over here the din of me'ila, and it no longer has the din of a chomesh if you eat it by accident. So these are two chumras, if you wish, that are by truma, that are not by kachim. That's two. We turn to the Amud Beis, we have number three, vein lo pidjan, there is no concept of being podes. Rashi says, lo tzir l'chulin, avo kodesh, yesh kodesh, shenifta, kigon, shehumam lefnei shechita. If you have an animal that was designated a carbon, it gets a mum, so it's allowed to be redeemed. But truma, no matter what happens to it, you can't redeem it. So it's stricter by truma. And the final thing is vasur lazarim. There never is any situation that a zar is allowed to eat truma. But there are situations where a zar is allowed to eat kachim. For example, Rashi says over here, maiser, behema, toldo, shlomim, they're all allowed to be eaten by a non-kohen. So therefore, there are four things over here that truma is stricter. So why do we say that you're allowed to use truma for that it's tummy to burn it? We should say, no, kachim should be the one to be burned. So that's the Gemara's question. It's these two opportunities over here, whether truma or kachim should be excluded. So the Gemara answers a very simple math question. Hanatafishin. There are six reasons why kachim is stricter, only four reasons why truma is stricter, so six defeats four. So therefore, we compare the kachim with the Maaser Sheni, and we exclude truma. That's teretz number one. The Baye Seymour, we look at it from a different point of view. There's one of these items that's stricter, that's the critical factor. We say the kodesh is chomer. Why? She can't honor kares. The bottom line is, one of them has a punishment of kares. The other one, quote, only has misa b'dei shemayim, so that trumps everything. So even though it wouldn't be six against four, let's say it was four against four, or let's say it was four against six, nevertheless, onish of kares is the deciding factor. Now the Gemara says, there's another reason over here to exclude truma from the din, that it's like maaser sheni, and to say that truma is allowed to be burned, and you get hanor from it if it's tamei. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amari says this reason. Amakra is the pasuk. The pasuk says that you have to go and give your truma to the kohen, and it says titen lo. You bedaf give it to him, which means lo. You give it to the kohen below the uro, but not giving it to him to go and burn. However, mechlal debas urohu. That implies that under normal circumstances, you could in fact go and use it for fire. In other words, you could take truma that is tmeya and go burn it. That's why you need a pasuk to tell me lechatchila you can't do that. It's only if it's tamei that you can. But since you need a pasuk over here to tell me that, that's how we know that truma is allowed to be burned and you can get enough from it if it is tmeya. Tosus in the top Tosus says over here, give to my mide below la orok siv, ematitin lo below dover shein royal o clout. Maybe it means that you have to give him something that is worthwhile. You can't give him something that's not worthwhile. Not something that's not worth a shava pruta. So Tosa says, no, the fact that it says titen, that's a matana. By definition, a matana has to be worth something. They nesina pochus mi shava pruta. And therefore, from the fact that it says lo, it means lo velo lo uro, not for fire. Now the Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, that we said in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to use itron. Why? Because of Kavod Shabbos. So Gemara says, my timer, what does it mean, this Kavod Shabbos over here? So I'm a Rav. Rav explains, you see that goes to Bach and Osalaf, he says it shouldn't be Rav, it should be Rab over here. And then we continue, mitoch sherecho ra, because it has a very foul odor to it. And therefore, mitoch sherecho ra, gzera shem yanichen v'yetzo. Since it has such a foul odor, so you may come to leave the room, and we don't want you to leave the room on Shabbos. That's supposed to be where you're eating. Gemara says, Amalei Abaye v'niv yeitze, so what's the big deal if you leave the room? So the Gemara says, no. Amalei, Rava says, back to Abaye, who asked the question, Shani Omer, Hadlokas ner b'Shabbos chova, because no, you must eat in a room. Rashi explains over here in Dira Masel chova, it's covered Shabbosu, Shein Suda Chashuva, Elam Malkum Or. You have to have the light over here, otherwise it's not considered a significant meal, and Shabbos must be honored with a significant meal. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosfos understands it in a different way. He says, in Dibra Maskel Hadlokas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, Pirish B'Mokum Suda, the Chova He Sheyiso B'Mokum Haner. When you're having Yisuda, you have to have a candle. You have to have light. Why? Mishum Oneg. Because otherwise, if you can't see your food, you're not going to enjoy it. And therefore, a person has to go and eat in a place where there's light. And if you have this foul-smelling type of an oil, this itron, you're going to leave it, and you won't fulfill either, as Rashi says over here, Kovet Shabbos, or the Onik Shabbos of the Seuda that Tosfos explains. And that's what he says over here. Amar Rav Nachman bar Rav Zavda. If you have Amar Rav Nachman bar Rava, Amar Rav Omarab, halach is near b'Shabbos chova, that you have to light candles on Shabbos. It's a chova that you should have it for either one of these two reasons. But rechitzas yadayim v'raglayim mechamen arvis, but to go and wash your hands, feet, and in hot water on Erev Shabbos, that's already a reshus. That's a higher level. It's a very nice thing to do. But he himself says, Ani omer mitzvah. He says, no, you're supposed to do this. What do we mean, my mitzvah? What do you mean it's a mitzvah? How are you supposed to do this? So the Amar of Yehuda Marat, Kach yamin hogush of Yehuda Bar Eloi. Yehuda Bar Eloi is known throughout Shas as a chosid. Whenever we have chosid echod, it means either Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi or Rabbi Yehuda Bar Bava. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi was a great tzaddik, and this was his minhag, how we would prepare for Shabbos. And this is what brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and this is what we're supposed to do. Erev Shabbos, a person gets on Erev Shabbos a trough filled with water. In other words, he goes and tries to bathe himself to a certain extent. V'rochets at a minimum, panav yoda v'raglav. He should wash his face, his hands, and his feet. Our minhag today is that we love davka after wash our feet because we don't walk around barefoot. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and therefore we're not obligated to wash our feet. But again, it's a tremendous honoring of Shabbos for a person to take a bath or a shower before Shabbos, which is of course our minhag. And then after that, misatev yoshev b'sadin and mitzuyotzin. After you come out, you go to get dressed. Misatev means you get wrapped up in your clothing, and they put on special linen garments. A sadin is linen garment that had tzitzis on it. And we'll see in a moment the significance of that statement. And he resembled, Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi looked like a malach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara elsewhere tells us that the angels are described in Yecheskel as being lovush habadim, that they're wearing very nice clothing. So they're dressed in white garments, so he looked like a malach over here, dressed in his white garments over here. Now, that's Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. But his Tamidim would then go to greet him on Erev Shabbos to take up the shul or whatever it was. They didn't wear their linen garments over here with tzitzis on them, and therefore they, so to say, tucked their garments in so he wouldn't see them. But he told them, he did see them. Amalan, he said to them, Banai, lo kach shenis lechem, how come you're not wearing tzitzis on your garments? Didn't I teach you? Sodim b'tzitzis. I taught you the halach in regards to putting tzitzis, which has techelis on them, in linen garments, and normally that would be an issue of kilayim. But there's a pasuk juxtaposing the psukim of kilayim with the psukim of tzitzis to teach us that the mitzvah of tzitzis trumps the issur of kilayim. And that's machlokes b'hil b'shamay. So I taught you, he told his tamidim, so the mitzitzis b'shamay potrin. B'shamay says you don't have to, b'shil m'chayvim. And we passing like b'shil. So how come you don't put on tzitzis? That's what he told his tamidim. No, why did the tamidim do this? Vinu sabre, the others held, the tamidim held, gizere mishum k'sus layla. They were concerned over here. Yes, we do hold smuchin over here. We do hold this hekish that tells us that the mitzvah of tzitzis trumps the mitzvah of kilayim. However, that's only if it's a garment that's a day garment. But if it's a pajama, for example, so then it doesn't trump it because only day garments have the chiyav risim also. You have to see them, and only day garments. So therefore, they were concerned if we allowed you to go and put on tzitzis on your linen garments, so that would be shatnis, so b'moka mitzvah, fine, but sometimes it would not be b'moka mitzvah, and that's why they didn't do it. In any event, the Gemara continues and quotes another pasuk regarding Hadlokas Neiros. That's the connection over here. Vatiznach mishalom nafshi noshisi tova. So Yirmiyahu is unfortunately crying about Klai Yisrael. They were so destroyed after the Churban, they had nothing left. And he says they have absolutely nothing left. They have no shalom. Vatiznach mishalom. They're so bereft over here of shalom. And noshisi tova. And they have no good. So what does this mean? So the first part of the pasuk, my vatiznach mishalom nafshi, what does it mean that their nefesh, their nafshi, had absolutely no expectation of having shalom? What does that mean? So I'm a revo, so I'd look at Shabbos. That means that they didn't expect, they were so poor, they were so destroyed, they didn't even have candles to light the Shabbos lecht. As Rashi points out, shalom yoham mimal lahadlik, they had absolutely nothing, they didn't even have a candle to light. Without the candles, they're not going to have shalom bayis. Shaholech v'nichshal, they're getting the walk and they'll trip over stuff. And the bach has the gears over here, not v'holech, but has the gears over here, v'ochel, b'afel, they're going to eat in darkness, they won't enjoy their food. So in any way, this is a very, very sad thing that they had absolutely no shalom. Now we dash to the rest of the pasuk. Noshisi tova, they had absolutely forgotten all about anything good. So what does this mean? So we have several interpretations. Amar Rav Yirmiya, su beis hamerchatz. Rav Yirmiya says they didn't have a bathhouse anymore. That's a luxury. That's a wonderful thing for a person to bathe for Shabbos. They didn't even have that. Then we have the gears over here that we have is Amar Rav Yochanan, but the Bach changes this around and says the gear should be Rav Chiya bar Abba. Amar Rav Yochanan, he said, this is the preparations for Shabbos, that they didn't even have hot water to go wash their hands and their feet. That's how despaired they were of anything good. And then we have Rav Yitzchak Navcho Amar, Zumita Noa, V'kelim Noam Shalel. This is referring to having a nice bed and some nice linen on the bed. They didn't have that. It was never so poor. They didn't even have these simple, basic ideas. And Rabbi Abba Omar, Zumita Mutzas, this is referring to a nice, made-up bed, the Isha Mikushetes, and having a wife that's appropriately adorned, the Tamidei Chachamim. The Mepharshim explained, it doesn't mean physical adornment necessarily, it means having mice. Such a woman, of course, is a tremendous goodness, and Nebuch, they didn't have this goodness anymore. Once we're on the subject of goodness, so Mestabba, we now talk about something else that's good, which is Ashirus, which is wealth. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, Ezu Asher, what's the definition of an Asher? In many places in Shas, we have different definitions. So the basic idea behind Ashirus has nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account. It has to do basically with how happy you are with what HaKadosh gave you. Ezu Asher HaSameach B'chalko. And that's what the Gemara is going to tell us right now. Kol sheyesh lo nachas ruach be'ashro. Somebody who gets enjoyment out of his wealth. In other words, as a person, as Rashi points out there, Sameach b'chalko im'at im'rav. If he has a little bit or he has a lot. So that's what it means. A person's happy. There's some people that have billions of dollars and they're very unhappy people. And there's some people that are poor as anything and yet they're the happiest people in the world. So real Ashirus over here, real goodness, if you wish, the connection to the previous Gemara, is a person who Baruch Hashem is happy with everything that he has. Now, we interrupt here with a mnemonic. I'm not sure why the mnemonic didn't come before Rav Meir's statement, because Rav Meir is part of the mnemonic, but in any event, that's the stall sometimes of the Gemara. Simen, it tells us the Simen over here, Mem, Tes, Kuf, Samach, which stands for the four Tanoim. The first one we already had, the Mem, we just had Rav Meir. Then we have Rabbi Tarfon. That's the test, obviously. So Kol Sheyesh Lo Mea Krum. He says, you know what the definition of a rich person is? Somebody has 100 vineyards. Umeya sados and 100 fields. Umeya vodim shavdim and 100 servants that go and work these fields. Now, may suggest, and you can see this in the Marsha, that this is saying over here that nobody is ever going to be happy with money. If you think money is the answer to all your dreams, you're very mistaken. And he says, even if you have this huge amount, which nobody has 100 vineyards, nobody has 100 avodim working every one of his fields and every one of his vineyards. So nobody achieves such wealth. That, you think that will make you happy? That's not going to make you happy, even if you had that huge amount. That's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion. Then we have Rabbi Akiva. That's the Kuf in the Nemanik. Rabbi Akiva says, Kol sheyesh lo isha no b'masim. This is wealth. The person has a wife who's a balas chesed, a wife who has a pure and beautiful deeds. So her actions, her maisim tovim, so that is a person who truly is wealthy. That's a beautiful definition of a person who's wealthy. And the final, fourth one is Rabbi Yossi, which is the Samach in the Nemanik. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol sheyesh lo beis hakis yisamach l'shulchano. We have the Gemara in Brachos, not that long ago, we said that a person who has ease of availability of going to the bathroom and doesn't have to hold it in, and therefore he won't, his davening and his learning and all of his other things won't become an abomination, and he won't get into medical problems, so therefore such a person is considered a wealthy person, that his toilet needs are taken care of. Now we go back to the following price of Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Ein Madlikim Mitzari. We had in the Mishnah, we had various types of oils and fuels that are no good, so to over here, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, you now use tzari. We explained previously, tzari is balsam. Now, my timer, why can't you use balsam? Balsam is very nice smelling. What would be wrong if you didn't use balsam? So I'm a rabba, mitoch shirechu node, because it is so nicely smelling that the wafting of the beautiful smell is going to come to you. And you know what? You can say, I'd love to put a little bit of that on my wrist, because there is shami yistabik menu. And you're going to take out a little bit of oil, this balsam oil, from your cup that's holding it, that has the candles in it, and that's a form of putting out a light. That's called mechabe, because if you diminish the amount of oil in the plate, so that's called putting out the light earlier than it would have been. So even though you didn't extinguish the flame, but you put it out earlier by taking out some of the oil. Therefore, you shouldn't use this because it smells so nice. That's teretz number one. Amalei Abaye questions this. The Gemara says, we turn to the
Chavova ben Aleph. Lema mar mipnei shehu off. There's another reason why, as Rashi says in the top Rashi, the nidbak bekosli habayis, it, so to say, flies up, goes and coats the walls of the house. Umadik is a bias. It's very flammable stuff. And that's why you shouldn't use it, because it's off. It flies up. It shoots up over here to the roof and to the beams, and it's going to cause a fire. That's why you don't light with this balls and with this tzari. So Gemara says, Yitaka, right. There were two reasons over here. Chada, the old Kamar. We have both reasons. Number one, Chada, the Neshuaf, because it's very flammable. It's going to burn down your house. But even if that wasn't the case, oh, Gzeira, Shema, you stop big man. We're concerned that you may come to take some of the tzari out, and therefore it's an action of kibui. There's a very strange story we're now going to have in the Gemara, and it's very difficult to understand, but we'll read it, and we'll try to get what we can from it. Hayicha Masa, there once was a mother-in-law who did not like her daughter-in-law, the Habas Snia Lola Chalosa, who really disliked her daughter-in-law. Some of the Chazal explained the story over here to teach us that this is something that we have to know, that a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law sometimes are not the best of friends, and this has halach l'maisa ramifications in terms of that a mother-in-law is not believed to testify that her daughter-in-law's husband, i.e. her son, the mother-in-law's son, has died, because she may be doing this in the hopes of actually causing trouble for her daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law will get married to somebody else. Then her husband, which is the mother-in-law's son, comes back, and they both have to get divorced now. So she caused her daughter-in-law a lot of distress, and her son no longer is married to that daughter-in-law. So some teach us, we have to know that there's an intrinsic, sometimes distancing or hatred between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, and that's the purpose of the Gemara according to some. In any event, this mother-in-law said to her daughter-in-law, Armelor, she said to Azil, Ikashit b'mishcho de afarsima, go and put on perfume over here, some of this afarsima, which is balsam oil, which is the tzari. Go and smear it on yourself. So the daughter-in-law was a good daughter-in-law. Azla ikshit, she went and put it all on her. So she was, fully smothered in this balsam oil. Also, Armelor, then the mother-in-law tells her, Zil isli shraga, go light a flame over there and, cook something. So Azla asla shraga, so the daughter-in-law did exactly what she was asked to do. She lit a flame, and it was combustible and flammable, and infach banur v'chalta, and the whole thing combusted, and she nebuch was killed. Now, again, a very strange story. The Ben Yoda says this is actually a follow-up story to a Gemara in Gittin, where he says that there is a piece of meat that's described as the piece of meat that chokes your mother-in-law. And that's a very strange story over there, that there was this one daughter-in-law who was very wicked, and she served this meat to her mother-in-law, which had a high predisposition that you would choke on this type of meat, and she in fact gave it to her mother-in-law choked. So that's called the meat that kills your mother-in-law. And the Ben Yoda says that our Gemara must be a Gilgal, and that this mother-in-law in our Gemara and this daughter-in-law in our Gemara were a Gilgulim of that Gemara over there in Gittin, and therefore this daughter-in-law who killed her mother-in-law in the story in Gittin deserved to now die, and this is, quote, the payback. And the Ben Yoda seems to be saying, if I understand him correctly, that nothing in this world happens by chance. Every single action, as strange as it may sound to us, there's a reason behind everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always make sure that everybody gets repaid for their deeds, even though if we don't see the connection, and this Gemara, you certainly don't see the connection, the Ben Yoda points out there always is a connection. Okay, in any event, we go weiter. We bring down a pasuk that discusses this balsam, this tzari. Nebuch, when Zoradin destroyed Yerushalayim, and he exiled all the Jewish people, so what happened was that they left behind some people, the Karmin and the Yogvim. What are these people? So the Gemara says, Karmim, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that these Karmim, what's the meaning of it over here, is Elu Melakte Afarsimot Me'en Gedi V'Adramoso. These are the people that gathered in the Afarsimot, this balsam, this tzari, in the area of Eretz Yisrael, between En Gedi and Ramos. And these Yogvim, these are the people, Elu Tzayodi Chalazon, they were the trappers of the Chalazon. The Chalazon is some sort of a creature, maybe it's some sort of a snail, some say it's a fish, whatever it is, we won't discuss that right now, which we make the Tchelis out of, Misulamos Shel Tzur V'Yad Chaifa, which is found in the elevated areas of Tzur, that's Tyre, and to Chaifa, around the Kinneret region, which is where the Chalazon was found, in the Shevet of Naphtali's area. Mark continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, Ein Madlikim B'Tevel, you're not allowed to use Tevel that is Tameh B'Chol. You can't light in general, not on Shabbos, not during Shabbos, even on the weekdays, you're not allowed to take Tevel, which you're not allowed to use or get benefit from, even if it's Tameh on a weekday. And certainly, Vein Tzarech Lomar B'Shabbos, and certainly you can't use it on Shabbos. That's the way Rashi understands this over here.
Similarly, Kayotzi Boim Madikim Beneft Lovin Bechoi. Likewise, you can't go and kindle with this white naft on a weekday. And the Ein Tzarich Lomar B'Shabbos. Certainly, you don't have to tell me you're not allowed to use it on a Shabbos. More questions. Especially Naft Lovin Neshuach. I understand why you shouldn't use this white naft on a weekday or certainly on Shabbos because it's very flammable. Off, it's going to again be combustible. However, I will tevel tomei my time. Why can't you use tevel tomei? What's the problem? Gemara says the pasuk omakra because the pasuk says vani hinei nasati luchos mishmeres trumosoi. Again, the pasuk that we had before. Now b'shtei trumas akosav edaber. It said that there's the truma that's tmeya and the truma that's torah. That's how we explained it before. Achas truma torah, v'achas truma tmeya. So therefore, the two are compared. Ma truma tahora. The only time you're allowed to have truma tahora is in lecha. Ba ela mishas haroma vielech, only after it's given to you. It has to be mufrash, you have to be mafrash to truma, and then you're allowed to have truma tahara. So too, af truma tmeya, even truma that is tmeya. In lechaba ela mishas haroma vielech, when it's tevel, it's not yours yet. You know, ultimately it will be yours when it's mufrash, but you're not allowed to use over here tevel that is tmeya. You can only use items that are mufrash, then you have the right to use them. Now the Gemara goes back and discusses something we had previously. Gufa, we had a brisa before that said, Rishimun Elazar Omer, Ein Madlikim Mitzari. You said you're not allowed to use Tzari. Okay, we had that before. The Chayner Rishimun Elazar Omer, another thing that he says, Tzari Ein Oel Esrof Miatzeak Tov. What exactly is Tzari? There's balsam over here. So it's the sap over here that comes out from a tree known as the Ketaf tree. Rashi says, Kach Shimon, that's the name of this balsam tree. Rishmol Omer, Kol Ayotzi Min Ha'Eitz Ein Madlikim Bo. You're not allowed to use anything that comes from a tree, the sap that comes out of a tree, to use that as the fuel because the wicks over here don't go up well into it. The oil doesn't go well up into the wicks, rather, and therefore you're not allowed to use this. Rishmol Ben Broko Omer, another opinion says Ein Madlikim Lo Biyotzi Min Ha'Pri. You have to use over here for the fruit something that for the fuels, the oils, something that comes out from a fruit like olive oil. That you're allowed to use, but you're not allowed to use something else that's not from a fruit, such as the different types of fats that we talked about. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees. He said, you got to use Shemen Zayis Bovot. That was his opinion in the Mishnah, and that's his opinion over here in the Brice as well. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri was not happy about this. He said, that's great if you live in a place that has lots of olive oil. But my Asuachi Bubble, in Bubble, they didn't have olives. Shailam El Hashem Shumshman, they had sesame seed oil. What are they supposed to do to light candles? They didn't have olive oil. And likewise, my Asuachi Modai, the people who lived in Modai, Shailam El Hashem and Gozim, they had the walnut oil. So they don't have olive oil. What are they going to do? Alexandria, the people living in Alexandria and Mitzrayim, they had the radish type of oil, but they didn't have olive oil. The people living in Kaputkia, they only had the naft. So therefore, what are they supposed to do? Ella, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri tells Rabbi Tarfon, you're wrong. We follow what the Chachamim said. You're not allowed to use certain things that the Chachamim said. Now, allowed to use certain things that the Chachamim said you're not allowed to use, but don't make it only that you can use olive oil. And furthermore, umadlikim shemen dogim uvitron, you're allowed to use the shemen that comes from dogim, and you're allowed to use the itron. Rishimon Shazuri disagrees. Rishimon Shazuri is omer, madlikim shemen pakuos uvineft. He says, you're allowed to use over here this shemen pakuos. We said it's a certain type of gourd that has oil to it, and also the neft. However, Sumcha says, Omer, kol hayotzi min abosa ein madlikim bo. You're not allowed to use any chaylev that comes out from an animal, elab shemen dogim, but you are allowed to use the shemen that comes out from fish. Now that sounds very familiar. Sumcha is hainu tanakama. That seems to be the first opinion that we said. Sumcha says, no, this is a machlokas we had the other day. Ika beinayu derab brun amarav. Remember, we had a machlokas that when you had the liquefied fats, so we said, everybody agrees you can't use the liquefied fats by themselves because you may come to use the solid fats. Except for Nochem Mother, you said that you could. But then we said that can you mix the liquefied fats with oil? So we had an opinion that says no. We had an opinion that said yes. Oh, that's the same difference that we had yesterday. We have that over here. No, they're arguing about this particular din. One says you are allowed to use it, and one says you're not allowed to use it. With this, we'll conclude today's shir.